is Catherine, and you are now listening to Healing Hearts and Vision on Blog Talk Radio, Rebirth for Love, with your host, Judy Blackley. She is a native of Savannah, Georgia, began her support ministry at age 6 when a young lady in her dance class was stricken with meningitis and died quickly from the disease. Through the years, she has reached out to many more who experienced grief, needing her empathy and compassion. Volunteering with families of head trauma patients, she developed a better understanding of the grieving process. 10 years ago, she discovered herself supporting families of murdered individuals as well. Now a resident of NC, she works online as a chaplain to those who are hurting from all denominations and faiths. Chaplain Judy, grief counselor and online chaplain, guides people through the grieving process, whether it be those who have suffered a tragic and sudden loss, to those who watch their family or friend dwindle away. She brings to the table practical guidance, allowing the griever to acknowledge and feel all the emotions that are part of our human experience without guilt or judgment, while imparting to them pathways to recovery. With God's guidance and support, she is a heart mender. Welcome to Healing Hearts and Vision.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for each day that you've given us. Thank you for the outreach of FB3 with Rebirth for Love. Thank you for the blessings of help and heart that we can experience only through you. You are our guiding light. Guide us today as we lift our hearts and our lives to you. Today we're going to be discussing youth and grieving, and in our second segment, we will hear from Catherine, our youth host. A youth that is grieving can affect others around them and may need special help, especially for those who are experiencing the loss together. Family loss is especially stressful. Adults may not be there to support them. Strange situations like people coming to the house or going to the funeral home may occur. People around them are acting differently. Kids may be asked to be quiet more than they usually are. If a parent dies, they may have feelings of abandonment and betrayal. Reaction to the grief will vary according to how much of the peer group is also affected. You think, what about my parents? What if I lose them? Death of a sibling. Will my siblings die? Or death of a peer. That could happen to me. Would I die too? There's no right or wrong way to grieve, and no two are exactly alike. Adult grief can affect your youth as well. There's many factors in how youth react to loss. Developmental levels, their personality, their state of mental health before the loss, the dynamics of their family if they're close and able to help each other. Cultural experiences. It may be that their culture deals with grief in a way different than we do. Their past experience with grief, their age, the circumstances of their loss, and how connected they were to the loss, as well as what they hear the adults say. It's best to try to tailor the support to each individual child. What are some things that children grieve over? Loss of a pet, loss of a parent to death, loss of a parent to separation or divorce. even losses of friendship, recognizing that they have a different ability rather than a disability. Memories of a flood or a fire, even if it didn't happen to them directly. Loss of culture is moving to a foreign country, moving to a new house or a new school, or illness in the family. There are many grieving signs, confusion, anxiety, sadness, being more needy. Not all children experience the same thing, but they do have things in common with adults: denial, anger, sorrow, depression, bargaining, acceptance. These are things that you can expect to see. But how do you know if there's a problem with their grieving? If you see emotional withdrawal, increased anxiety, lack of talking, bedwetting that lasts more than a month, sucking on their thumb or revisiting their passing, difficulty concentrating, nightmares, headaches, stomach issues, acting different to situations they usually can handle well, irritability, flashbacks if they witnessed an event, eating too much or too little, becoming easily upset, switching off as though the event never occurred, temper tantrums, self-blaming, crying or giggling for no reason, or stealing. If these issues only last a few weeks, relax. If it lasts more than a month, seek help. There are other issues that indicate that help is needed. The loss of interest in daily activities, disruption in the ability to eat or drink, the fear of being alone, poor grades, and talk of suicide. Some children have a higher risk for issues. Those who were very close to the person who died. Those who were present when someone died. Those who experienced the trauma the person who died had experienced. And those who generally isolate themselves. Sometimes children experience this if they see another experiencing it, even if the loss was not theirs. How can we as adults help? Ask questions that makes them the teacher. Talk about the loss of clarity and truthfulness. Give information, even if they don't ask. Ask questions to see if they understand. Listen with kindness and patience. Be willing to hear about it over and over. Recognize they need closeness, care, information, reassurance, and support. Support the kids on their own level. No two children the same age need to receive help the same way. Allow children to have time for normal play. Help the children discover ways to communicate with loved ones. Allow children to express all of their feelings and thoughts. Help them to find help when needed. Help them to restore their routine as quickly as possible. Keep the rules the same. Things you didn't allow before, don't allow now. Share with children your own grief and reassure them that it's okay to feel that way. Talk about what happens at the funeral. Explain commonly words like lost the loved one, one is asleep, or one has gone on a long journey. Children are likely to grieve differently from adults and move in and out of grieving. One minute they'll be sad, the next minute they'll be playing. If you hear things that would cause confusion, discuss it so that the kids do not get confused. Help them get into their routine so they will see that things can be normal again. I've even known some people who insisted that the kids continue to go to school while funeral plans are being made to keep the normalcy of their routine. Take care of yourself so you can continue to be helpful. In talking to children about death and grieving, consider the dynamics in the individual family. If family members deal with perilous occupations such as firefighting, police officers, military, consider their cultural beliefs and the abilities of their siblings to grieve. We know the stages of grief, but there are also expressions of grief, emotional shock, aggressive behaviors, misbehaving, repeating questions. After all, grieving is a process, it's not an event. Don't lie to children, even in part. The loved one is not sleeping. There's no feeling that they do not need to feel. And their loved one is not on a journey. Once I was with a mother whose husband had just died. She had no idea how she would explain it to her children, some of them who were quite young. I offered to help her. I asked the kids, have you ever had a toy that the batteries leaked and the toy couldn't be fixed because there was too much damage? You can still see the toy, but the toy would never work again. Then I let them listen to their heart through a stethoscope. The heart is the battery God put in, and sometimes things happen to the heart and the body doesn't work anymore. You can still see the body, but the part that helps love and feel is in heaven. In a few days, you'll visit a building like a church and see a box that the body is in, and it will be open for people to see. You'll see the body that God allowed your daddy to live in, and he may even look like he's sleeping, but the part of daddy who loved and cared for you is with God. Children generally need to be supported longer than teens or adults, and they need to know their world is safe. After 9/11, even as an adult, I had a very eerie feeling that my world would never be the same. That happens with children, too. If you're a layperson, remember what you are and aren't. You aren't a psychiatrist. You aren't a doctor. You aren't a clinical therapist. You're just somebody there to help. And when it gets beyond what you can do, that's okay. Know what the Bible says, but be sensitive to know if they're ready to hear it. Provide a safe place for children to talk. Let them know it's okay to express their feelings. And help them find ways to remember the loved one who was lost. Help them to find a ritual to remember them by. Young children have more needs at the time of loss than school-age children. They will feel a series of gains and losses and not sure how to react to them. Depending on the support they receive in learning how to process grief and how young the children are at the time, children can learn to manage grief effectively. Let's talk specifically about age groups, starting with preschool. Young children have difficulty understanding that death is forever. The impact may be greater because they don't really understand what's happening. They can't separate real from unreal and may think they caused the loved one to go away. It feels like they're losing themselves. They don't yet have the words to express how they feel, so drawing what they feel might be more beneficial. They want comfort, but they still need to play. School-age children are beginning to understand that death is permanent. They know that they're not coming back, and they need to hear it repeatedly. They feel responsible, like they were bad. They feel concerned over who would care for them. They may be matter-of-fact in how they talk and ask specific information. They may or may not know how to express express what they're feeling. In later primary years, they now understand that death is permanent and what things can cause death. They can talk better about their feelings. They are not as likely to blame themselves. They have a strong sense of morality and they ask deeper questions. They begin to empathize with what others are feeling. In the teenage years, teenagers grieve in the same way as adults, but because of normal changes in their body, they may have more severe ups and downs. They become withdrawn, depressed, and moody. They want support more from friends than family. They show their sadness through acting out. Some may even turn to drugs or alcohol. Helping to encourage them to do something to remember their loved one by is usually helpful, like making a memory book or a poster to put on a wall at school. If they lose a friend, find out from reliable sources what happened. Let the children and teens know their strengths in talking about it and encourage each other to talk. It's okay to cry. The death is not their fault. Listen to soothing music and hug something. Hug a pet, hug a pillow, hug each other, but hug something. Sometimes a friend contributed to the death. I supported a young lady. I'll call Chrissy. Chrissy took the batteries from the smoke detector for her Walkman. She was cooking French fries and thought she turned it off, but she turned it up. She started a fire, and the house burned down. The smoke alert could not alert. Smoke alarm could not alert. Her brother rescued some of the families while others got out on their own, but he died in trying to rescue them. How do you support someone like Chrissy? I reminded her she didn't intend to start the grease fire, and her brother knew that. Yes, batteries and smoke detectors should stay in place. So talk to groups and explain the importance of keeping emergency equipment in good condition. Teach kids and adults safety in grieving. As I prepare to turn our next segment over to Catherine, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and your support. We pray for healing of our producer. We pray for comfort and strength for those who have experienced death and is still having difficulty. Use us as your servants to help those who are grieving. Thank you for receiving your children into your care. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, animals can also experience separation. So if you can hear my cat trying to come in, it's because my cat, too, wants to have that companionship. And I apologize if you could hear it. Thank you, Catherine and Jackson, for playing the love of God. Now I'd like to turn it over to Jackson, who will be introducing his sister.
In our next segment, we are featuring Catherine Kessler. She is so excited to share her experiences in dealing with grief. It is her hope that she will be able to help others. Catherine is 15 years old and is a pianist, model, and actress. She is homeschooled and loves it. It is her dream that she will be a mentor and will be able to help others through God's grace.
My grandmother died when I was 7 years old from ovarian cancer. She was 71 years old when she passed away. I had fond memories of the times we spent together. She would come over every Wednesday to our home to spend the day with us. She was the best cook and loved to fix us a big Sunday dinner every Sunday. As well as being a fantastic cook, she was an intensive care nurse for 43 years at Rex Hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina. She received chemo treatments and had 3 operations for her cancer, but it didn't help. During the last week of her life, I prayed to God that the doctors would find a cure for her cancer. The day before her death, she was in and out of consciousness. All of a sudden, she sat up in the bed and said, "I just saw the most beautiful baby boy. He had green eyes and blonde hair." She then went out of consciousness again. We didn't understand why she said that, but later we figured it out. She was talking about her son that died as an infant. She died the next day. I was so mad at God for taking her away. I missed her terribly and did not understand why God would do this. He knew how close we were and how much I loved her. I kept her on my mind all the time. It started to affect my schoolwork, and piano was my outlet. I started playing the piano when I was 5 years old and absolutely love it. I am homeschooled, and my mom knew that something was wrong. She took me to a grief counselor and also to the pastor of our church. That helped some, but you see, I thought if I kept thinking about her, I would not forget my grandmother. Mom and I had so many talks about her. We read the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, and that so helped me. Reading in the Bible about heaven gave me a comfort as I knew she was in a better place. My pastor also gave me the book, God's Promises for Your Every Need, which also helps a lot. As I grew older and wiser, I began to become at peace with her death. It didn't mean that I didn't miss her, but I knew she was not suffering anymore. The feelings and emotions that were bottled up inside of me were starting to flee. I knew it was wrong to keep them inside. I was only hurting myself, and I knew that she would want me to talk about them. How free I felt when my feelings were out, and I realized that even if I didn't think about her all the time, I still remembered her and all of our memories that we shared. I feel so lucky for the time that I got to spend with her. She wrote me a letter before she died, and I will always treasure it. I hope by sharing my story that it will help those that are grieving. Just please do not bottle up your feelings. Share them with your loved ones, pastors, friends, etc. I would like to read a few of my favorite Bible verses that deal with grief. Isaiah 49:13b, "For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted." Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Psalm 23:4, "Ye, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I hope I have helped someone in sharing my story. If you have any questions, please call 773-897-6504, and I will be glad to answer them. Or you can go to my Reverb Nation page. That's REVERBNATION, and type in Katherine, KATHRYN, Cowsert, COWSERT, and leave me a message. I would like to end by dedicating this show to my mom's friend, Kathy. She is battling cancer, but she always is so upbeat and positive. She sent me a congratulatory message today, and it ended with this verse, number 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.